Okay, the iPad. What the... Why, Apple? Why? What did you... God, it's not... It doesn't even have a real OS. It has iPhone OS. It can't multitask. Ooh, it's got a million apps. You know what? I want to be able to use software I already own. I don't want to have to buy some rinky-dink app that farts on my tablet.
Okay, but wait a minute. But you don't have...
Can you? Do you have software already that farts on your computer?
Yes.
It's called Rob.
Yeah. Oh, you're so baby to that one.
But, okay. Ooh, but, honestly, the market penetration for the iPhone is already pretty high. So, the people that buy those...
So, why buy a bigger iPhone that doesn't have a phone? Yes. That's exactly what we want.
But this
so, what
has...
it really is a bigger iPod Touch.
Oh, let's face it. We'd all buy an iToilet just because it has I in front of it. And
I'm not.
Do something cool for it.
Well, not I.
Well,
but this does have it.
Well,
hey,
I say we all, as somebody who's sort of making fun of the mass market because I don't have an I anything. Well, no, that's not true. I have an iPod. I have an old iPod that somebody gave me.
I have two iPods. Both of them were given to me. I have never paid for an Apple product, nor do I intend to.
I mean, I'm not a big Apple guy. I hate their computers.
I didn't pay for that either.
I like Apple products. I have no problem with any of their stuff. But this is just, you know, here we were thinking this is going to be like Apple's version of the netbook. Oh, it's a tablet computer. Apple's going to make a tablet computer useful. And no, they didn't.
It's not a computer.
No, it's not. It's an iPod.
It's an iPhone.
We all want that thing Captain Picard sat around with and like, deet, 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 and like called up whatever the hell he wanted.
You're absolutely right. And this is not that.
And we still can't get one.
Because that multitasked.
It's funny that was in the 24th century, and we feel like it's ridiculous now that we can't get our hands on one.
It's ridiculous that I can go to Walmart, spend $200 on a netbook. And
$228.
Much more than I can do on this $500 thing.
It has flash. It has like a 250-gig hard drive. Oh, my God. Buy that.
Sure, it feels like a toy, but what do you think this oversized iPod's going to feel like?
Yeah, I mean, that's the stupid
bezel. What's the name of that thing? I'm going to buy it for my daughter tomorrow.
The netbook?
Yeah,
it's an e-machine. Yeah, so, it's an e-machine's netbook.
Perfectly
fine.
Break
down and get that.
Yeah, Walmart has it.
I hate shopping at Walmart, but I think I might break down.
I could see myself.
Kids are gonna kick our ass at all this stuff. It's gonna be so sad.
Hey,
I could see myself owning it. I mean, I have
an iPad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Because I don't want a netbook. I don't need a crappy netbook to carry around.
So
I
you want something without a keyboard?
No,
you want a crappy iPad to carry around for twice the price.
Hey, guys, one thing, some house cleaning. This is New Soundwave, episode 15, and I am Brian Kilby. And with me I have Ender, JD, XV, and Rob, and John. No Chris Triplett this week, he'll be back next.
That's
go
what
ahead.
We call a cold start.
Yes.
There you go. I don't have a touch. I didn't need a touch because
you have the power?
I would rather have an iPod Touch than this because this looks dorky.
This is going to do the reader stuff that I want it to do. It's going to do the other apps that I want it to do. I can get $30 a month G3 on it. I don't have to buy an extra add-on. I don't have to get a separate subscription to a separate service or anything like that. All inclusive. And if I don't want to do that, I can just get the Wi-Fi version. So, I mean, I can see the value in this for someone that doesn't want a netbook, which is not what I want. That's not what I want. I want something that's small, compact, fits in my hand. I can read books.
Nothing like a netbook. Oh, my God. Yeah, you make perfect sense, JD.
A netbook is a small laptop. I don't want that.
I can read books, e-books, perfectly on my netbook. If I want to read it, I turn it around, and it's oriented perfectly to read books. It's like the best e-book reader ever.
I've got a BlackBerry that can do more than the iPad can, and it costs a fraction.
It multitasks.
Yeah.
So what are you guys thinking of something like a Kindle?
Yeah.
It's a Kindle that can check your internets, but nothing modern.
I mean, the Kindle may be hurting here because the iPad does basically everything the Kindle does, and more at this point, but I don't see it overtaking netbooks.
I am, honestly, and I'm going out on a rinky-dink float here, I'm going to say the whole Kindle thing's a fad, and I don't really see it taking over. It could, but that's going to be a hard sell for me, and I don't think people are going to spend twice as much on a Kindle for the ability to check their email, but I can do it on their phone.
Can you check email on a Kindle?
Mm-hmm.
You can.
This is a funny thing, and maybe I guess most people don't feel this way, but I don't necessarily want one device that does everything. There are certain things I would like. I would like a dedicated device that
does it well,
like a Kindle. Like I want a Kindle that reads my books well. I'm a big page turner. I like to have a book. I love books, but I kind of see the value in one of these things, especially as a father who has like toddlers running around. Every task I do, I'm always kind of thinking, how would this be made easier while having monkeys climbing over my head? You know, I always kind of have to think of that. And a Kindle makes that easier than, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, your house should have a library. You should have a certain amount of books in your house. And, you know, maybe this is the future and it's not quite getting, you know, latched upon. But I don't really need a cell phone that I read books off of. And I don't need a laptop that I don't really need a laptop I play games on. I want my games on my TV. I want my books in my hand. And I want my cell phone in my ear. And there is no one device that will do all those things well.
Convergence is overrated.
Yeah. Well, I think we're reaching a point where it's like, you know what? It's great that we can do some of these things, but do we really want to?
Well, you know.
Well, no. I mean, still like 80% of people in America use their cell phone just for calls, regardless of the features their phone actually has. Only Scandinavian countries use their phones to their full extent. So, I mean, you know, it's also a cultural thing. And I mean, it is what it is.
Scandinavians only use their healthcare system to its full extent.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a culture, you know, and like we were saying, like the all-in-one black box has a bad history because invariably it's stretching the technology, it's going a little bit too far, it's ahead of its time, it's just overreaching.
And, you know, I was thinking along the same line with how video game consoles are now. You know, back when it was the NES, you put the game in, you turned it on, and you had a game. Now they're trying to be little computers and entertainment devices besides the video.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah. I've been sad to have seen Nintendo go down that road. I really loved when they were like, we're making the Wii and it's a game console. And they're like,
why doesn't it play DVDs?
And they're like, because it's a game console. You know, I appreciated that, man. I was all about that. Like, yeah, how about you guys spend all night, all day making me a game console?
The thing that bugs me about the iPad, it is overreaching. It says, we'll make spreadsheets fun. Excel is plenty fun enough.
Well, here's the thing.
Excel's about as much fun as it's going to get.
Well, how often are you making a spreadsheet on the go?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I mean, here, it can play MP3s. Well, you know what? Do I need my backpack to listen to what this little thing the size of a button I got for $20 at Walmart will do?
Yeah, because I can't tell you how many times in 2001 I was sitting around going, man, I wish I could make a spreadsheet on the train while I was watching porn.
Yeah.
but
it doesn't multitask, so you can't do it.
Right, you'd have to have a netbook for that.
Yes, there's a netbook for that. You want to be able to multitask, there's a netbook for that.
Ultimately, the iPad is another yuppie toy, and that's it. It's a segue.
Exactly. That is exactly.
You know, the funny thing is, too, that all these a-holes are running around trying to find that little pad in Captain Picard's arm, when really all of us are like, yeah, you know what, assholes? Call us when you have the holodeck running, okay?
Well, here's the thing.
We really don't care about the little pad. We're over it.
Holodeck, call me when you have a phaser. There's some people I'd like to go have a word with.
Holosuite. Not holodeck. Holosuite. I'd rather. DS9. Sorry. That's
yeah, I still want a phaser first.
Well, everyone always says.
Holosuite with a multiplayer element. Didn't you always envy O'Brien and Bashir where they were like, they were multiplayer gaming in the Holosuite, which is something like TNG never thought of. And they were like, man, you know what we should do this evening? We should go fight the Battle of Britain. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Come on, where's that?
Everyone forget always
other stuff. I don't want to read War and Peace in a tablet. I want to fight the Battle of Britain.
Well, I mean, Rob, it's not immersive, but we have like every World War II game you'd ever want.
Rob.
Okay. Everyone always says they want Star Trek technology. Everyone wants Star Trek technology. But there's this fun story. Leonard Nimoy once said he was standing outside calling his agent on his cell phone, and someone walked by him and said, Spock took the Kirk. And then he stopped, looked at his phone, and goes, holy shit. we're already holding.
No, that's just that this stuff's going so much faster than that, and that's why I'm saying we're all acting like we want that little tablet that will, like, you know, read Dostoevsky to us from you know, while we're drinking Earl Grey tea. That's not what we want. We want the holosuite.
Did anyone have a Palm Pilot? You know,
no.
Or a PDA or whatever toward the end of the 90s? I did. I had one. I wanted off AMC. You know what I used it for? My grocery list. And that's why I was trying to figure out something to do with this thing that I want off of cable TV.
That's what I use my cell phone for now.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. All the Star Trek, I think it was Ender made the point. All the Star Trek technology is based on a pre-tech boom mindset. Who cares if Picard had this little tablet, you know, whatever. We can do so much more now than what we could have conceived of back in 1987 when that was invented or when that was dreamed up. I mean, we can do so much more. Can do that on a cell phone.
You know, part of the horror, too, is that really, as biological creatures, we react to things a little faster than our electronics do, and we're still having a problem with that. This was years ago. I mean, maybe 10 years ago. It was like something I watched on Nova or something like that. Somebody put together a thing that basically – it was a snowboarding video game, right, that's controlled by your brain. They just, like, put a little hat on you, and you were supposed to control this snowboarder. Now, at first, no one could control it at all. But you gave it a few hours, and they started to get good at it. But then, all of a sudden, everyone got bad at it again. And the reason was that we are not calibrated to act at the speed of our own thought.
I can't even speak at the speed of my own thoughts.
Well, let me tell you.
I speak faster than the speed of my own thought, which is why I can't have talk.
Yeah, well, you know, you wonder why those rants go on? It's because my brain is going a little, you know, my brain is in play and my mouth is in fast forward. But it comes down to, you know, they couldn't develop that to game technology. Because people couldn't control it. There's a limitation to what we are. There's a limitation to our understanding. There's the old, you know, sort of Norse mythology concept of Midgard. We live in Midgard. Mm-hmm. We live and exist in a very limited little slit of the electromagnetic spectrum of energy. You know, that's what we are designed to deal with. That's what our minds are designed to deal with. And until we, maybe through our own technology, begin to evolve out of that, there's a lot of things we will never understand and never be able to control because we just don't exist at that level.
We understand four-dimensional space, and that's about it.
Yeah.
We don't understand fantasy, though, because if you want to stop and think about it, you remember Back to the Future 2 when Marty goes to the future? That takes place in 2015. That takes place 5 years from now. Do you see all that happening?
Transformers the movie took place in 2005.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like history.
The Jetsons.
I made a 99. Point of watching that on New Year's Eve 2005. So just once I could hear that narrator say, "The year is 2005, and have it be right.
Yeah, I actually I started recording an RFC to celebrate that I was going to launch on 2005, and I never did. I suck.
Oh, yeah, we were going to then go back and do that as a throwback later.
We need to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
I had the benefit of a drunken Hooper X going, "It is the year 2005.
Rob, hang on a second. I'm going to back up. Rob, you were saying something there I was really interested in before I interrupted you and then everybody else did. Go on with what you were... You were making some point there.
Oh,
it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
That stuff.
No, you're talking about, you know, the understanding of fantasy and stuff. No, I was just saying I was interested in that. I want to hear that. I'm sorry I got interrupted.
I'm just saying the whole idea is people want fantasy to happen. And there's just some things, even if it does happen, we're never going to see it. Picard's talking pad. You know what? The big iPhone is not going to be what you want it to be. The Jetsons were supposed to happen in the 90s.
Oh!
It's fantasies. You know, people.
Well, no, well, future fantasies have always been really discalibrated from reality.
Yeah, I mean, when my shoes tie themselves, we can talk.
Right. Well, you know, and here's the horror of it, is there's a certain degree of, as human beings, we've really proven that anything we can conceptualize, we can create. But there's lots of things we just don't.
Well, then where the heck is
and
my
it's
flying
not
car?
Thank you,
well, even the flying car, yeah. The flying car, the electric car, the hybrid car, it's not don't, it's won't.
Where is my anti-gravity belt?
Well, we're getting close
to
that,
though. Honestly, that's what limits us as a species in a lot of ways. We really, you know, we should be able to – I think some of us are at this point, this level where we're like, all right, I've thought of that. Why can't I do it? Well, but at the end of the day, you know, who's – evolutionarily speaking, is it the, you know, intelligent who are – exceptionally breeding?
They're not breeding for the most part.
Yeah.
They're living at home watching Master Force.
Yeah. You know, we reach this intelligence quotient, and like, you know, people talk about like, hey, you know, like maybe we're going to evolve into people with like pale skin and blue heads and 17 fingers. But unfortunately, no, it's actually the people who are a little more like our ancestors that are breeding.
Hey, well, you're talking about the intelligence quotient going up. Actually, on average, the intelligence, and I can't remember the name of the principle, but on average, the intelligence quotient goes up. But if you look at the curriculum that like people 100 years ago followed, like a high school algebra book, it's far more rigorous than a college level algebra book.
No, we're our education. You live in America. Everybody here lives in America.
Yes,
your education was a joke. It's a sad, pathetic joke in the scale of historical education. Sorry.
Hello, all our teachers.
How about that iPad?
Yeah.
No, you were trained to shop and to help people who are shopping.
One more thing before we jump to our next topic about the iPad. The reason people want the Picard's pad, it's a romanticism because they live in a virtual utopia. Just because we have an iPad doesn't mean we'll have a utopia. Get over it.
You know what I want them to really focus on, though? Do you remember a few years ago they developed a flexible like LCD screen?
Yeah.
I want them to start working on that more. I want a computer I can roll up and put in my pocket.
Or a disposable computer, which I don't see the point in. But
either way, though, you know, that would be the ultimate extension of the netbook. You know, a little thing you can take out of your pocket, pull open, and work with, and then put back in your pocket when you're done.
They're working on Pico projectors so that you can project stuff off your camera or off your computer. I mean, that technology, you could have a computer in your ring or in your watch and project it on the screen somewhere.
Well, I want to go back to something you were saying there. That was about, you know, we want the Picard thing, and we feel like, you know, that will or will not generate, you know, a better life. I think it's this sort of concept, especially that people of an intellectual variety have, that we feel like if information were really made available in an infinite way to everyone, things would get better. That is sort of the baseline concept of the liberal intellectual, is if everyone knew what was going on, we feel like things would get better. Maybe it's not what we want. Maybe it's, you know, maybe not. But what we feel is the lack of the prolificacy of information.
We have more information available to us than any society in history.
But available to who and available on what scale?
Right.
You know, who in South America is on Wikipedia every day? You know, is the masses of the human race really being exposed to the real content of information that is understood to be true to the very, very few of us who have real access to it?
There are 300 million people on Facebook. They're shooting to have a billion people.
It's nothing. 300 million is nothing in a world of 7 billion.
It's like 1/18. So, I mean, it's
nothing. That's just it. That 1/18 wonders what it would be like if everybody really knew what was going on.
Unfortunately, that huge amount of numbers on Facebook, they're just using it to play Farmville.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
And that's just it, too. I mean, and that's, you know, this is a broad concept, but in terms of, like, you know, we all like to, you know, tout the wonderfulness of democracy, but if people don't participate in a meaningful way,
they get duped by hope and change.
Right, you know, you put out a blurb and... You know,
that's how it is anyway. I mean, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. I mean, no one is really.
But that's something the Greeks knew when they first instituted the concept that this was it was not okay to appeal just to a majority, because at the end of the day, the majority is always not going to really know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about any one party. I am not one of the people who say
I'm not even talking about parties. I'm talking about the concept.
I'm not one of the people who say, "Oh, the past is so much better." The past was awful. Every day is better than the day before. But if you go back and look at, like, political rallies and political speeches from the 50s, the information provided was so much more in-depth. Facts, figures, information. Now you go to – it's all about emotion. It's all about hope. It's all about change. People are not getting the information that's out there. They have access to it, but it's not being fed to
them. It makes you wonder if this will be, like, remembered as, like, the information age, dark age, you know, where it was – possible to do so much, but so little was done, versus, you know, a few hundred years before when it was possible to do so little, but people tried so hard to push that information through.
Well, the reason that's happened is because in the last 50 to 100 years, we figured out that people don't give a damn about information. What matters is how you feel about something.
Doesn't that call the entire concept of democracy into question? If you can get a majority to vote for you, not based on what is good for them or what they know, but simply by what they feel, and if that what they feel can be manipulated with no concern for what is true, doesn't that call the whole concept into question?
What we need is a hive mind, because no one will ever agree on anything.
Well, yeah. Oh, send her back to Asimov.
Yeah, look at all the information that you just plain education that's out there on the internet, and what are we using it for? Hello, we're doing podcasts on the iPad and Transformers.
Yes.
Well, we're talking about this. We're trying. I think this is a pretty, you know. Yeah. Welcome to New Soundwave.
Yeah, welcome to Population U.
Speaking of misused technology, let's go to our next topic.
Right.
So are we talking about the shoe? It's a game, it's a shoe.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
So Adidas is launching a shoe that doubles as game controllers for some MMORPG.
Dude, shut up.
I'm sorry, I want the Get Smart theme here, that's all.
XV, so I told XV to shut up, now you tell Ender to shut up. Who is Ender going to tell to shut up?
No, I'm gonna shut up. I'm gonna shut up. I just want the Get Smart theme there because it's the shoe.
It's a red shoe too. Wasn't it a red shoe? No.
At least in the promo video, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So no, in Get Smart, I'm thinking about something else. I think Red Shoe Diaries on Showtime. All this.
That's
softcore.
Totally different thing.
Wrong shoe.
If I started thinking the theme to that, then we're in trouble.
Okay,
I need to have my own podcast.
Yes, you have your own podcast.
Yes, you do.
And I'll be right there to tell you to shut up.
Thank you.
But, I mean, so are we going to be...
I'm glad to have your support there, Ender.
There are too many strange technologies that they're trying to shove into shoes.
Yeah, I don't get it.
The only one I've seen recently that seemed to make sense is that the one that's supposed to help you slim up by having a rounded shoe. I read an interesting article today. It said that the best running shoe is no shoe at all, because shoes change the way that you actually use your feet and the actual stride. So as long as
mean tens of millions of years of evolution haven't produced something that would, I don't know, it's good to walk on?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
Are those people who wrote the article really running 3 miles barefoot every day?
Calloused.
Or are they just telling us to?
Nike.
That was hurt a little bit, yeah.
No,
calluses. I remember going out to. I had cousins who lived out on the farm who would make fun of me for wearing sneakers. I would ask why, and they'd pull up their feet, and there was this foot that had like twice the padding and ergonomics of what I had like had designed by people for millions of dollars a year with my little pump shoes and my whatnot. There it was, right on their bare feet, and I could not keep up with them as we ran through the clay and broken whatever the hell.
That's how I grew up. That's exactly. Yep. That's exactly how I grew up. My feet were calloused. I could walk on anything, and you know, I was pretty darn mobile.
I have a little stone in the shower I like rub on my feet so that my feet will be as soft as I expected girls to be.
Mine are as soft as
mine. I slip it into a sneaker and I walk away.
I have absurdly soft feet, and it's kind of sad. So, but no, I grew up with very calloused feet. So there you go.
My only thought is that people that are playing video games, are these people we really want to take their shoes off to use the game controller?
Who are playing video games, are these really people who own sporting shoes? I mean, seriously.
I'm just imagining.
What it really makes me wonder, is what else are they going to do with a shoe given enough time?
Maybe steel-toed shoes that work properly.
So, Rob,
I'd settle for shoes that I could play like Power Pad games from the Nintendo with while keeping on my feet.
Yeah, I mean, who was I talking about with that before? Like, if they made like Darth Vader themed shoes that made the breathing sound when you walked.
Ooh, I'd buy those.
I got a pair of Chuck Taylors that make farting noises every time I walk to that show.
Mine do too.
You should
imagine every time you were in a hurry, they'd be like,
I actually bought a pair of Chuck Taylors for OTFCEC 2003, and I was going to wear them, but I forgot them, and I'm so thankful I didn't, because I ended up walking like 15 miles that weekend.
Yeah.
They're the least comfortable shoes ever. I don't know how people played basketball in them.
Because there wasn't anything better available.
It would be awesome if you had the Darth Vader shoes for that, so like by the end of the weekend they were like, like he was at the end of Return of the Jedi. That'd be great.
I try to pretend Return of the Jedi doesn't exist.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, this is New Soundwave. We can talk about that here. Why do you pretend New Soundwave? Why do you pretend?
I like to pretend New Soundwave doesn't exist.
I'm just not fond of – I mean, my favorite parts of Return of the Jedi all involve Darth Vader, the Emperor, and Luke, but everything else is basically throwaway.
You don't like the Ewoks?
It's not just an Ewoks thing. I mean, you know, the Ewoks are what they are, but all the other action sequences and everything just seem shallow compared to like Return of the
Jedi. I move for a New Soundwave cast total analysis of Return of the Jedi.
Dude, I can't sit through Return of the Jedi anymore.
No, and that's why I'm going to make you do it, because it's your – come on, man. It's your job. It's going to be great.
We'll add that to the queue of the 50 bajillion things we want to watch and analyze.
I'm going to bump it to the top, because I'm going to bitch about it until we do it.
Enjoy.
Return of the Jedi? Return of the Jedi is the first movie in my entire life I remember seeing in the theater.
That's probably why you like it so much.
Yeah.
That could be. And maybe between, you know, your hate for it and my like for it, we'll find a meaningful thing to talk about.
It's not a bad movie. It's just not – it's kind of like what we were talking about in RFC, where all the other Transformers comics were so bad that the records was so great. Well, Empire Strikes Back was so fantastic.
Well, Empire Strikes Back is incomparable. So, it's hard to compare anything to that.
Yeah.
But I think on a cliched front, Return of the Jedi does very well. On a cliché front,
Empire really builds up your expectations for the next movie, and Return of the Jedi just
Empire does something that no movie in 100 years had managed to do. So it's a little hard to compare. Empire is something different. I think we could talk about Empire for a week if we really tried.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, and besides, you can't get away from the Battle of Hoth no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Did we?
It's everywhere.
I seem to recall I ranted a little bit about the Battle of Hoth and how you can compare all video games by it.
Yes.
Last week.
I think that was last week, wasn't it?
I think we should do a video cast of that sometime.
Okay. Let's see here.
Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Yeah.
I could send you a preliminary and show you why you should bump that up, too. That's a meaningful point in video game history. The Battle of Hoth.
Clash of the Titans and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows been released in 3D. Okay, who cares?
I'm sorry, what were we talking about? We have to wake me up. That set me to sleep as soon as you said exactly. Harry Potter.
Yeah, the article just really goes to show how much Avatar is trying to impact
how much
films are made.
How these films want to be Avatar.
Harry Potter wise, since Goblet of Fire, hasn't all of it just like made you want to go to sleep?
There
we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's see. Ever since the second one, which one was the second one?
The second one was. I can't even remember the second. Chamber of Secrets.
See, I love Chamber of Secrets, yeah. And I've not cared that much for any movie since.
Yeah, it's been a thing that's kind of passed me head over. I can appreciate
Chamber
it. I just can't
enjoy it. Goblet of Fire was so poorly edited. I don't know. I mean, it's like I haven't read the book. I mean, maybe the book is better, but the movie itself is just like, wait, who? What? Where? Well, how? What? It's over? That's what you did with Ralph Fiennes? Seriously? Like, that was it. I could just like, huh? I just, that movie like went by and I was like, when's the movie gonna start?
We should
the credits rolling.
Yeah, we should totally save like a Harry Potter discussion for Chris being on the show. He loves Harry Potter. Let's see here.
All right.
Some DVD
wait for me to skip to
some DVD releases.
Chris, get your crap together and get in here.
Do we know? Did I let him know? DVD releases. What the heck is this? Sherlock Holmes. Is that the movie?
It's like Sherlock Holmes fighting dinosaurs. That sounds great.
It's going to be released on January 29th? That's not possible, is it?
Oh, let me see.
Let's do a quick yell of the link.
No, there's no way.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, it can't be released already.
No, somebody was talking about
it's a direct-to-DVD. It's a direct-to-DVD movie. It's not.
It's one of those, like, Transmorphers things, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but this looks better.
Hey, look, we've got that one guy from Enterprise.
Sherlock Holmes here. Who's seen Sherlock Holmes?
I did.
The new one.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I heard something today. Someone was telling me that they're talking about a second Sherlock Holmes to follow this one.
Uh-huh.
And that they're in, like, big contract dispute about whether the quote, the person I was talking to, homoerotic content could be exacerbated. Now, I assume this – I haven't seen the movie. I really want to. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan. I'm a Robert Downey Jr. fan. I'm a Jude Law fan.
Jude Law was awesome in the movie.
All right. And so what I'm asking is was the content of this movie in terms of the Sherlock Holmes Dr. Watson relationship so extreme that if exacerbated would be reason for a major studio to object to a sequel that exacerbated it?
I mean, there was definite man love involved, but it wasn't like, you know, romantic. It was like they're like brothers. I guess
wasn't a Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, if you took out the romantic interest, both of them, you could say that, you know, they could possibly have a thing for each other. But I mean,
it's a bromance.
Yeah, it's a bromance. Well, that's a new term that I've you know, it's been bandied about a lot recently, and I had a very close friend who, you know, I went to see Chasing Amy with and was forced to sit in the car with afterwards and look at and be like, oh, crap, are we like that? You know? So there's two elements of it. One, what's the prejudiced element here against homosexual, which I totally disapprove of. And then there's the, you know, to what element is the post-90s bromance element being too explored that doesn't make sense with its origins with Arthur Conan Doyle? I mean, like, is it overdone? I haven't seen it. I want to know. Is this overdone? Is this a problem? Is this something Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law should be worrying about?
No. I think it's one of those things that I guess if you're in the mindset to be predisposed to look for, you know, gay overtones that you could possibly see it, but no.
But that's true of almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like me and XV, you could say that. It's not true.
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, like, is that overplayed? Is that maybe not just a real element of male bonding in our society that we have chosen to overlook?
Yeah. There you go. I agree. Okay. That's it.
No, I'm totally cool with that. I remember once long ago, I think, what was that show called? It was an old British show. And we have a host, and he'd tell a few jokes between things, and they'd have skits in between. And one of them was a Sherlock Holmes skit, and they had Dr. Watson walk in, and all upset. He said, "Holmes, do you know what they're saying about us out on the street?" I said, "No, what are you talking about?" Said, "There are people intimating that you and I have a homosexual relationship." And Holmes puffs on his pipe and looks at Watson and says, "But we do." And Watson says, "I know, I just don't like people talking about it." No, that always stuck with me as a Watson and Holmes moment that made me wonder.
I just want to say this, and we can end the Sherlock Holmes thing. My only problem with Sherlock Holmes had nothing to do with the movie as it existed. In my mind, the best – It's juxtaposition. You're comparing one iteration of Sherlock Holmes to the other. We've had for the last 6 years the best instance of Sherlock Holmes on television. We've had House MD, and House MD is way better than the movie was. So,
well, and to that I will say the most faithful adaptation of the actual stories themselves were the Jeremy Brett stories on the BBC, which are phenomenal if anyone hasn't seen them.
Yeah, I mean, definitely House isn't – I mean, a friend of mine actually had pointed out to me. I'm like, oh, I totally didn't get that, but it's totally true that
– Oh, yeah.
House is totally Sherlock Holmes.
It's so funny. Hugh Laurie is a British actor.
Yeah, very British actor.
Who I've admired for many years before he came on to House. And, of course, there's just almost no trace of – British in his performance, but man's just amazing. Yeah. Man is just amazing.
Let's see here, guys. Do we have anything else to talk about this
week?
Well,
there was that one other topic.
DVD releases?
No, number three.
Number three. Yeah. JD, do you think the court should ban D&D role playing for prisoners because it can possibly incite violence?
God.
I don't know that I have ever been incited to violence by D&D.
I have.
You don't know. You can't say for certain.
You've been incited to violence by other people playing it, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
We really need to get
that, in. That's slightly different.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, so I really need to crack down on the gang guys fighting dragons in our prison system.
Right. No, the fighting dragons thing specifically. I remember reading that before I played D&D, and I didn't get to play it for long enough. Quite frankly, it was a period in high school where I had some friends who were playing it, and I got to play it. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I love role-playing games. I love tabletop role-playing games. Last week, I bought a Doctor Who role-playing game, even though I'm probably never going to play it, just because I have the old one, and I was so into it. I read this article, and it was about this guy, and he had died in a train accident. Right? The guy got hit by a train. He got hit by a train because he took his replica sword and decided to fight the train because he thought the train was a dragon. And the article went on and on about this. He thought it was, he'd been playing Dungeons and Dragons. He was very involved in the role-playing community. And he, took his replica sword that he had bought. And he went out on the tracks and fought this train because it was a dragon while he was on crack. And blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, excuse me, could you back that truck up just a little bit? And remind me of the part where he was on crack. Like, they skipped over the crack. They mentioned the crack once. Everything else was like TSR and Doom. But it was the D&D that had killed this poor young boy. It wasn't the crack he'd ingested while he'd been playing D&D that caused him to go and fight a train with a sword and lose. But it was, I think the media loves to find these little things. Well, I mean, like,
Let me put it, go out, find the audio for Dead Ale Wives, Dungeons and Dragons. I'll try and find a link and put it on the show notes. It's easy to download. It's out there a bunch. If you want to know what D&D sounds like and you've never played it before, it makes fun of it, but that is it. It is very pedestrian and mundane.
Read the player's guide, the first couple of pages. It's nothing there. It's fun. It's imagination. You know, God forbid in this country we tell people to use their imagination.
Yeah, and if people are being incited to violence in prison
these days without
imagination seems to be a four-letter word lately.
Yeah, well, my little sister of the tender age of 16 this week went to a 3-hour assembly about Columbine. And, you know, the things I remember most about Columbine, it was just after I had left high school. You know, everyone people were talking about Marilyn Manson. Ooh, it's Marilyn Manson. He writes songs about suicide. You know, couldn't be that your kids are listening to songs about suicide because they're thinking about committing suicide. No. Those songs are making them thinking about committing suicide despite your fantastic upbringing. And then they're holding the shotgun above their heads in the videos saying, it looks like something out of Doom. Doom? Doom? You're telling me those kids ever played Doom? This is like 1999. It's the vernacular. Those kids never touched Doom. Doom was something I played in like, what, 93, 94? Give me a break.
I killed somebody because of Doom.
Well, yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I got better afterwards, so it's okay.
Get it out of my system.
No, but yeah, it, you know, that whole thing was insane. It was video games. It was Marilyn Manson. Has anyone ever taken the parents to task over that? The people who let their kids have credit cards and buy shotguns?
Of course not.
No, of course not. Shotguns are fine. This is America. We should all have shotguns.
I think that's a pretty good idea.
I regret even bringing up that D&D topic.
Yeah, okay. So that's it for New Sound Wave 15. Check out the comic book podcast that we are going to debut later on this week. We don't have a name yet, so go to the show notes, follow the link, and vote. Or you can email Brian at tfradio.net, B-R-I-A-N, at tfradio.net to vote. So, yeah, do that. Guys, anything else?
I've got pee.
Yeah, I had to do that too, so I just turned the volume down and listened to Ender while I walked into the other room. It worked out pretty well.
That's the official recommendation of the podcast. Yeah. Once Ender starts talking, that is your potty break.
No. Guys, we'll be back next week. Thank you for being here, and thank you everyone for listening.